Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this short episode of A Yank on the Footy, where I'm going to go back and look at 5 key events from round 10 and talk about a handful of the games, my thoughts on them, and where I think things are going to be going here. And I do have a poll that's going to be showing up on X or Twitter that I'd like you to take a look at as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this short episode. Now, folks, I do hope you'll head over to my website, yankonthefooty.com, and get on the mailing list. I do hope you'll share the podcast with your friends and family as well. And if you like the podcast, I do hope you'll take a few minutes and leave a 5-star review for the podcast over at my website over on Apple Podcasts. It'd be a huge help for the show if you would do that. So also, if you've not checked out episode 330, I encourage you to take a look at that one. I kind of get into my discussion on this whole concept or idea of premiership rings for the AFL. You know what? I don't want to exactly say everything that I had said there, but the AFL does a really good job of what they do with their game with regards to awarding premiership medals and things of that nature. So I'm not sure if anything actually needs to be changed or not, but I hope you'll take that, a listen to that, and let me know what you think about that. So these are 5 games that I wanted to discuss. I wanted to touch on real quickly because it was a great weekend for footy. I got to watch, I think, 6.5 of the 9 games. I'm going to try to watch the rest of them this week. My school year is winding down. We are done Friday of next week, the 31st. And I actually start my summer job coming up on the 25th of this month. So this coming Saturday, I'll be working at the local amusement park again and getting out and working on putting again aside some money for my trip to Australia next summer, since I'm not able to go this year. As many of you know, I did have hernia surgery about a month ago, and I got the okay from my doctor to get back out there. And he said, take it easy. If you feel any kind of a twinge, you know, go ahead and slow down a little bit. So I headed over to the park today. I talked to the people who are full-time over there, and then I took a walk around the park, and there must have been 100 school buses with students from all over Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Indiana, who made their school trips to come to this amusement park, Cedar Point, to ride roller coasters and that sort of thing. But I got my 11,000 steps in on my trip around the park today. So one of the reasons why I'm doing this job, you know, here I am, an almost 61-year-old man, and I'm going to be spending the summer emptying trash cans at the amusement park. And it's exactly what I want to be doing. Okay. Yes, I'm a school teacher. I've gone to college way too many years. I'm not this person that thinks, hey, you know what? I have a couple college degrees. I'm better than anybody else because I don't know much of anything. If you're able to work with your hands, I am in awe of you. I'm in awe of you because I do not have any real physical capabilities of doing that sort of thing. I'm not real good at that sort of thing. So if you are able to build things, work with your hands, that sort of thing, I commend you. I applaud you because you do something that not many people like myself are able to do. So I'm very impressed by that skill set that you happen to have. So let's jump into the games. Okay. Want to touch on the Swans and Blues. And I got to just tell you right now, the Swans, they are the class of the comp this year. You know, yes, they got bit on the ass by the Tigers back in round 3. Now, if you go back and listen to my round 3 previews, I actually tipped the Tigers to win that game. Not sure why I did it. I just had this sneaky feeling. And again, I think that was really before the whole injury train had run them down. You know, it was whatever the and if you know that horror film, It Follows, whatever the injury bug was that had been hitting West Coast for the last couple of years, you know, they played the Tigers back in round 5 and beat them by 39 points. So I think they went ahead and traded off the injury bug to the Tigers. And the Tigers, I'm not sure if I see the Tigers winning another game this year. And quite frankly, they might be getting a wooden spoon this year. But back to the Swans, I am thrilled for the way that they're playing. I think the addition to Brody Grundy to this club has been phenomenal for them. Is he going to get back to his all Australian ways? I don't know. Maybe not. But being outside of the footy media bubble that is Melbourne, or at least what I have been able to surmise is Melbourne, I think is probably a really good thing for him. Okay. And if you are a Swan supporter, while you may not want to admit this, I think you might quietly be nodding your head to yourself. I think the Swans in 2024 are much better off right now than they would be if they still had a 2024 version of Buddy Franklin on the side. Now, and I am not taking away anything from Buddy Franklin, one of the most phenomenal goal kickers who've ever played the game. I've watched a lot of, you know, highlights from him. Again, much of his success was before I started following the game when he was with Hawthorn. Just an absolutely iconic player. But if you're somebody who watches the game and you watched it over the last many years as Buddy began to wind down his career, at least I picked up on this, at least I think I picked up on this, it sure seemed like there were many instances where the club felt like they were compelled to get the ball to Buddy at all costs. To get the ball to Buddy, it's time for Buddy to go score, rather than getting the ball near the forward 50 and going, it's time for the Swans to score. Okay, so I think the fact that the having to get the ball to Buddy is no longer that specter hanging over their head, I think this club is going to be much, much better off for it. Okay, now I wonder what's going to happen to Luke Parker in terms of how many weeks he's going to be missing. So, yeah, it looked like a really, really dumb move on his part in the VFL contest there. So, and it sounds like it was a pretty significant injury for the player that he hit as well. So, you know, Swans, I am thrilled with the way you're playing this year. It's impressive. You know, Blues, and I've said this about the Blues before, I still think they really need another consistent scoring threat to take some pressure off of Charlie Kurnow and Harry Mackay, because it seems to me that the club is, not to necessarily say that either one of them are Buddy Franklin, but it seems to me that they have to almost every time they come in inside 50, not every time, but almost every time, they've got to get the ball to one of those players in order to kick a goal for them. And, you know, I just wonder if this is a if this is something that they could go ahead and fix by bringing in, you know, a young small forward. And again, I'm not advocating that that these players go to this club because I don't know their contract status. But think about if you were able to plug in a Kazi Pickett or a. Perhaps a, and I'm drawing a blank here, a Tyson Stengel to an extent, but who was the other one I was trying to think of? You know, Charlie Cameron. There was one other one I was trying to think of besides Charlie Cameron, but he popped into my head as well. I'm drawing a blank right now on that, but plug in somebody like that who's a pretty good goal sneak and is able to, you know, manufacture goals on their own. That would change things phenomenally for the Blues, I think. Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about also the Port Adelaide and Hawthorn game. And I know if you're a Hawthorn supporter and as a Cat supporter, I know that I'm supposed to be celebrating the fact that Hawthorn lost. I generally don't want to celebrate clubs that are behind us on the ladder losing. The ones that, you know, Port's a little bit behind us still on the ladder, but they're a heck of a lot closer than Hawthorn is right now. And you know, if you are a Hawk supporter, you've got to be pretty thrilled overall, because your club showed you quite a bit of what the future is going to hold. Okay. They showed you quite a bit of what the future is going to hold for this club. So I'm pretty thrilled to see what they had going for them. You know, I know all the discussions going on right now about, you know, Blake Hardwick getting moved out of the attacking zone. It's if you watch the NFL, teams in the NFL that get a big lead, sometimes they go into a little bit of a shell. They go into what they call the prevent defense, meaning that they'll, if you watch the NFL, the defensive backs who are guarding the receivers, they will play a little bit deeper, a step or two deeper, and allow the offensive quarterback to throw the ball underneath to the receiver and pick up 8 yards, 9 yards, 10 yards, but not letting the team get that 30 yard play and that sort of thing. And if you do that too soon, in many instances, the only thing you're going to prevent is your team winning, because if you've got a good quarterback, they're still going to be able to pick you apart. They're going to find a way to get the ball where it needs to be. So there certainly is an argument to be made for just continuing to be aggressive. And Hawthorne, I think, learned the cost of not following that. Now, on the other side, you know, I know there are many Port Adelaide supporters who have had this love-hate relationship with Kenny Hinckley. Put your hand up if you're going, oh, Kenny needs to be around for another couple years as senior coach. Put your other hand up if you're thinking, we need to get this guy out of here and get somebody else in here that can help this club win consistently. Some of you might have put up both hands, okay? But, you know, I think you can make a compelling argument that Kenny Hinckley in the first half of the game, and really through the first, you know, 60% of the game, was doing a great imitation of Henry Winkler's Coach Klein from The Waterboy. If you remember that Adam Sandler movie where he was the Waterboy and ended up becoming the great linebacker for the Southwest Louisiana State Mud Dogs. But that coach, Henry Winkler, who played the Fonz on Happy Days back in the 1970s, when his team was not playing well, he was kind of skulking back and kind of stepping away from being out there leading the club because he was afraid of his lack of success. But this club turned it around. And I think it had a lot to do with what Kenny Hinckley was doing, coaching from the sidelines. But I think it also had a little bit to do with the way that Hawthorne decided to play the game. But here's my question for you, okay? Do you think that the playing list for Port Adelaide is 100% or darn near 100% behind Kenny Hinckley? You know, I think that relationship must be pretty strong with him being, you know, on the ground or on the deck coach during the course of the games. Okay. Yes, you can talk to your senior coach via telephone during the game. They come down between quarters, but he's down there coaching up the club constantly throughout the game instead of having to communicate through a phone or through a runner. Sorry, Ross Lyon, I had to mention it. But I just think that he's, you know, the coaches that are coaching from the sideline or from the coach, you know, not in the coach's box, that are down on the ground, their relationship, is it a good one with their clubs? I mean, look at Chris Fagan. It seems to me, yes, and I know that Brisbane's back to within one game of being level. They're 4-5-1 right now. But the Lions sure seem to love Chris Fagan as well. Okay? I'm thinking maybe the same thing. And again, you don't have to love your coach. You have to do what the coach says. That's how games are played. Okay? The players do the playing, but the coach decides this is how we're going to play. But I really wonder why more senior coaches don't rely on their assistants up in the box and allow them to be more hands-on. And again, maybe you could tell me where I'm wrong on this, because I've not seen a lot of that happening until Kenny Hinckley, Craig McRae, Simon Goodwin, Chris Fagan. Okay. I'm not sure, you know, if Chris Scott would ever coach from the bench. Okay. And that leads me to the next game, the Suns and the Cats. And first off, I got to tip my cap to the Suns for that dismantling, that dominant performance that they had this past week up in Darwin. Now I wonder, and again, and I'm not making excuses here other than to say that the Cats midfield is not up to snuff right now. Okay. But I wonder, and those of you who have maybe been to Darwin, and I talked to Rick Schiavone from the LA Dragons, who got to play a little bit of footy up in Darwin. Mick Aussie, I think, got to play some footy up there in his younger days as well. And I'm thinking about you, Mick. Hope to get the chance to talk to you on Wednesday. You know, The Suns, they had five players with more than 32 disposals. Lukosius and Humphrey kicking five apiece. You know, Ned Moyles looked like a 150-game Ruckman. Okay? Now, I think Toby Conway is going to become a very serviceable Ruckman for the Cats, but he's only played three or four games at the senior level. Now, the question I had, and this isn't going to change at all, but was the 64-point margin really an accurate interpretation of where the skill levels are for these two clubs, or could you also factor in that the Suns got to spend an extra week up in Darwin getting adjusted to the climate? I know the Cats came up and trained for a few days up there, I believe, before they played the game as well, but they didn't spend a couple of weeks up there. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not making any excuses for the Cats. Yes, they didn't have Cameron, they didn't have Dangerfield, they sat Mitch Duncan, they sat Tom Hawkins. I don't think it would have mattered if even all four of them would have played in that weather, in that temperature, that humidity. I'm not sure it would have made much of a difference if all four of them had played in this game. Now, like I said, Suns, I'm darn impressed with you. You're in the eight right now. I'll be honest with you, I don't see that changing. Okay, I think this club's going to stay in the eight this year. And I had a discussion as I was out walking yesterday with Rick Schiavone, as I'd mentioned. And one of the things that I mentioned is, I said, you know, the Suns might make the eight this year, but they might have a little bit of a slide back next year, because if they make it this year, they're going to, at least on paper, play a slightly more difficult fixture next year, where they're going to be playing double up games more so against clubs who are probably in the eight this year than they typically do. Okay. And I got to tell you about the Cats midfield. They've been in disarray for most of the season. Okay. Especially over the last few weeks, they've dropped three in a row. Yeah, they had more clearances than the Suns did, but you know, the Cats, I've noticed it. And again, you know, I'm no expert. I mean, I know what I see in terms of trends, but I'm never going to be somebody that's going to, you know, say, hey, this is how this specific event took place. This is how this specific event took place. And they should have done this differently. Okay. I don't know nearly enough about the game to be able to do that. Again, I still need to see a game in person before I'm able to you know, even consider saying things like that, okay? But this Cats midfield has looked tentative as hell for basically the entire season, okay? It's been that forward structure. It's been the back six that have carried this club, because the midfield has not done their job. Okay, I think it's a good likelihood that we may not see much more of Reese Stanley. I think they may find themselves saying, okay, you know what, we need to get more games into Toby Conway. I do have to say, and again, my club, full disclosure, I am a Cat supporter. We got the crap beat out of us, okay? But there were a couple things that I saw that I was pretty pleased with, and I've seen them in the last couple of games that these play. Like I said, I'm somewhat pleased with Toby Conway. I think in a year or two, he's going to be a very serviceable Ruckman. The other thing that I'm really, as any Cat supporter would be, concerned about is what happens when Tom Hawkins decides to step away from the game. Could happen this year, could happen next year. And certainly he's earned the right to do that whenever the hell he wants to. Okay, if he wants to come back and play next year, if you're the Cats, I guess you negotiate the contract that you see fit for him, because it sounded like that was one of the things that happened this year, that they negotiated a slightly less impactful contract for him with the club. But I felt pretty good about watching Shannon Neal play. Okay. And I think he's what, 206, 208 centimeters, a very tall young man. A little bit like young Mr. Darcy from the Bulldogs, although I think he's much more physically imposing than young Mr. Darcy is at the moment. And Darcy, I'm sure, will bulk up and will fill out his frame quite a bit. But I did see some things that Shannon Neal did. And again, you know, playing in that weather situation made the game tough for both sides. The ball was a little greasy. But, you know, somebody in the Cats midfield has got to step up. You know, Brandon Parfitt has been okay. Max Holmes has been playing an awful lot in the back six. And I know they've slid him up to play some midfield, and he led them with, I think, 32 disposals this past week. But if you look at their stats, there's an awful lot of players that are not midfielders or that are midfielders, they're not anywhere close up to the top of that list in terms of having a a lot of disposal. I mean, Parfitt had 20. Okay, Jack Bowes had 21. You know, Myers 29, Dempsey 25, Tom Stewart 21, Tom Atkins 18. Yeah, and I've always thought that Tom Atkins is one of those hard-nosed players that is not afraid to stick his nose where the ball is. He's not the talent that Paddy Dangerfield is, but Paddy Dangerfield has had a career where he's not been really afraid to stick his nose in there to go get clearances. Atkins has done an awful lot of that, you know, and again, I'm just a guy sitting in a closet in Ohio talking about this. So I'm not somebody who knows everything, but I would almost think that they would have to consider getting Atkins in there just to start going after the ball and preventing, if nothing else, preventing the other club from just getting a clean break on the ball from the center bounce. Okay. And the Cats, you know, they've dropped three in a row. They didn't really compete very much with Noah Anderson, Tuuk Miller, and Matty Rowell. They started out this year 7-0. And they may very well find themselves dropping their fourth game in a row because you've got the Orange Tsunami coming to town, who've got their own problems as well, also having dropped three in a row. Now, the next club I wanted to talk about are the Essendon Bombers. And, you know, they climbed up into the second spot, which is going to make the principal at my school very happy. He's an Essendon supporter. He's stoked about that. And if you looked at the ladder at the end of round nine, their percentage was still down in the low to mid 90s. They've now raised it up to, I believe, a little over 103. So they added quite a few percentage points in. And they've got their percentage very respectable in comparison with the other clubs that are the eight, because I'd been advocating the fact that, you know, that this club had, you know, they've had a draw. So they were going to need to win themselves at least another game or get another draw, if you will, to try to pick up extra points on the ladder that were going to be necessary because their percentage had been so low. Now, of course, last week they played the Roos. This week, if I'm not mistaken, they play the Tigers. So they have an opportunity to possibly, and I'm just scrolling and looking at the fixture right now here for them. I believe they do, in fact, play the Tigers at the MCG on Saturday night or Saturday morning, my time. They're going to add on their percentage as well. I know that this is a great rivalry, but the Tigers are a lot like the, as I mentioned before, they're a lot like the Eagles have been in the last few weeks. Okay. So I think Essendon is, Kyle Langford has been a revelation for them. He's knocking down 2.5 goals a game. Todd Goldstein has come in and basically taken the ruck position away from Sam Draper before he got dinged up. And Ben McKay, it's been great to, and again, if you're a North Melbourne supporter, yes, the thing you got out of that was the number three pick, which you can certainly debate whether or not that was something that should have happened. But Ben McKay has been been like a man possessed playing defense in a club that's competing. Now, this might be the year that something happens really important with regards to the Bombers. I'm not going to say what it is because I'm not going to be the one to jinx them. Okay. I'm not going to be the one to jinx them in this situation. So, the last game I wanted to touch on, and I wanted to ask you this serious question. Has anybody noticed what's happened three out of the last four times the Eagles have played at Optus? Yeah. They've won three out of those four games by an average of almost six goals. Okay. By almost six goals. Now, I don't know if Adam Simpson is the guy who's going to be the senior coach for this club in 2025, but I'm pretty darn convinced this club's needle is pointing upward. Yes, they still have a lot of veterans who are around on the 2018 premiership side. Those players will probably not be on this side's next finals team. In fact, there may be, an exodus again this year where they bring in even more young talent. But again, as we're seeing with North Melbourne, you don't want to get so bogged down with young talent that you can do nothing but sit back and wait for them to get more games in them. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to admit, I am one of those people that said before the draft last year, the Eagles, it would be in their best interest to go extract as many high draft picks from North Melbourne as they could, because it sure sounded like the Roos wanted to keep Harley Reid in Victoria and not have themselves another Jason Horne Francis situation with him, of course, being from Victoria. But he's, again, country Victoria, if I'm not mistaken. I think I can safely say that was a mistake on my part. Okay. You know, have you heard the saying, you know, that a rising tide raises all boats? Well, I think Harley Reid might be that raising tide, because he's making everybody around him play better. And this has become a club that's fun to watch. Okay. They're excited. They've been beaten down and downtrodden and devastated by injury for the last 2.5 years. That I understand. As a Cleveland Browns fan who has spent a lifetime waiting for them to play in the championship game, not even win the championship, but just play in the championship game, the Super Bowl, it's had to really suck to be an Eagles fan the last few years, as you're watching this storied franchise, this storied club, just continually to stub its toe, and fall over itself and not be able to get out of their own way and be devastated time and time again with injuries. This is a proud organization. It's, you know, one of the wealthiest clubs in the competition. They've got one of the biggest memberships. And, you know, are they playing finals this year? I doubt it. Okay, I doubt it, but they do still play the Roos 2 times this year. They play the Hawks. And I'm not quite ready to say that they're done yet, but they also play the Saints 2 times this year. Okay? This club could win all 5 of those games. And if they could steal another win or two, well, another 2 wins, they could at least finish with double-digit wins. And I'm going to guess that not many of you had the Eagles getting double-digit wins in 2024 on your bingo card, because I know I sure as hell didn't. Okay, yes, they've only got 3 right now, but and they probably won't get to double digits. But they are definitely pointing in the right direction, okay? They're definitely pointing in the right direction. And they've almost become, we used to have a TV network here in the United States that would, they were so boastful of the programming that they had on, that they would call like their Friday night lineup of TV shows or their Tuesday night lineup or whatever it was. They called it must-see TV, that you couldn't not watch that. And if you're a footy fan, even if you're not an Eagles supporter, watching the Eagles when Harley Reid is playing is almost like must-see TV, because you want to see what that kid's going to do next. You want to see what the players around him are going to do next, because they're improving. He's raising all of those boats, okay? So I'm really excited to see where the Eagles end up this year, because it's just fun to watch his maturation. And again, he's only played 8 or 9 games. 9 games, I believe. But it's just, you know, awesome to realize that, you know, for the next decade of my life, if I'm fortunate enough to have that many years, this kid's going to be one of those players that is at that top of his game. Now, will he be with the Eagles his entire career? I have no idea. You know, I think I would like to see that happen. I'd love to see, you know, players be able to stay with their clubs that have drafted them. But again, you know, when the time arises, you know, he will have earned the right to decide where he wants to go play if he decides not to stay with the Eagles. Okay. So those are just my thoughts on a handful of games this week. You'll have to let me know what you think. You can head over to my website at yankonthefooty.com and leave a comment there. You can leave me a voicemail over my website as well. You can shoot an email to me at yankonthefooty@gmail.com. Now, over on my Twitter page on X, I have a poll that I've put up there, and I'd love for you to check it out. I'd love to share your thoughts and vote on it as well. Okay, now many of you know that I became a footy fan. I started following the game in 2016. I chose to become a Cats supporter in 2017. And, you know, one of the goals of my podcast is trying to encourage footy fans, people who have not become footy fans, people who have not followed the game yet, to discover this game, what I think is the greatest game on the planet, and check it out and become fans of the game. So the question I'm going to have over on Twitter is this, okay? If someone not unlike me in 2016 was just starting to follow footy and they were looking for a club to support, which of these four downtrodden clubs would you encourage them to be a supporter of? And I guess in a kind of a backhanded way, I'm asking you, which of these clubs is playing finals first? So the Eagles, the Ruse, the Hawks, or the Tigers? I'd love to get your take on that. Okay. So again, head over to my website. Head over to Twitter or X and find me at @Yank_on and vote on that. Cause I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. If you want to leave a comment as well, I'll spend a little bit of time on the round 11 preview episode, sharing some of your thoughts on that as well as we go forward. Okay. So again, there's my takes on a handful of things that occurred during round 10. It was a great round of footy. I do feel for you, Hawthorn supporters. I'm going to guess your coach probably does not, Sam Mitchell does not allow that to happen again. Reach out to me over my website, yankonthefooty.com, yankonthefooty@gmail.com. Give me a follow on my socials, if you will. Share the podcast with your friends and family. Ladies and gentlemen, look out for one another. Give your friends a call. Check up on them. Make sure that they're okay. Those phone numbers are in the show notes for every single episode of my podcast, whether it's on YouTube or out on my podcast host, okay? You can find everything over at my website, yankonthefooty.com. Get on that mailing list. Leave a review. If you want to help out the podcast, you can certainly do that. Click on that Buy Me a Coffee button as well. And if you'd be a great guest, or you have somebody who'd be a great guest, I'm always looking to talk with people who played the game previously. I've had, you know, several dozen former AFL players. I mean, not several dozen, a couple dozen former AFL players. I've had a lot of people who played local footy at the highest level of local footy as well. I'd love to chat with you. So drop me a note at yankonthefooty@gmail.com. Okay. All my socials are linked over on my website. And folks, thanks for checking this one out. And as always, may your dribble kick never hit the post. I will catch you later. And thanks for checking out this episode of A Yank on the Footy. Thanks for listening. And I do hope you'll share with your friends and family. And until next time, cheers and goodbye.